Good evening. By way of introduction, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've had the opportunity to participate with you in your supper. So grateful that when you set this all up, Lord, you had us in mind. You provided the way of escape to yourself, and I'm personally very appreciative for that. I'm thankful again that we now get to partake of your word and participate in the proclamation of the message, which helps to deliver people from the snare of the devil. Father, I'm grateful again that you've entrusted those things to your church. Pray the message tonight will bring glory to you. You are so richly deserving of all. And Father, I pray that in this message as well, my brothers and sisters in Christ will be encouraged, be built up, and to be equipped for this great mission that you've entrusted to us. Help us to understand, Father, so clearly that we, as your people, in this present day, are a people of prophecy. I'm so grateful again that you looked ahead through all the ages that you were going to work and spoke about us so that we would understand who we are when it became our opportunity to become participants in this gospel. Thankful again for the opportunity to proclaim your word. I just ask that you would help me to proclaim it in a way, again, that would be edifying to the brethren. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I use that verse because I want to swerve into one of my favorite verses eventually. But like we read here, it says the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. We're the Lord's bondservants. Amen? Amen? Okay. All right. I mean, yes, it's talking to Timothy, but to us indirectly as well. So we are charged with being those who would help to deliver people from the snare of the devil. It's really what we're about. And prophetically, we were brought about for that very purpose. So from the mouths of the Old Testament prophets, brothers and sisters, we were prophesied to be these deliverers. We, you and I, those of us in Christ. So those prophecies, like I've often tried to help you guys understand, have encouraged you and exhorted you to understand, they are there so we'll understand who Christ is, who we are, and we'll execute our purpose to His glory. Now the Lord's entrusted these things to us, and He has confidence in us. We can get it done. We can get it done. So one other thing I want to touch on tonight that you should think about, in all of human history, we are the only ones who have been told through the Scripture that we can hasten the coming of the Lord. You need to stop and think about that. We are the only ones that control this event-driven return of Christ. We, us. It has to do with delivering of the people. So with that in mind, I want to talk about the deliverers that we are spoken of in the Old Testament, and particularly the deliverers that come out of this place called Mount Zion. Like I said, I was going to swerve over into one of my favorite passages, but Wednesday night when Brother Jay was here and he spoke about worship and service, and he talked about God went through all the ages to get certain people, and ultimately it was really to get to you, and he was trying to communicate that, which I think he did a really good job of communicating that. It was so you would understand that you are the product of the prophecies of God. You were intended. You're not a mistake. He worked to get to you. I cannot explain or overstate that enough to you, brethren. You need to understand this. You are who He wanted to get to. All right, let's start now by talking about this mountain, Zion. Just kind of go through some Old Testament prophecy. We're going to go kind of quick, but I want to throw some stuff out at you guys, and you'll see why I like Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 so much. Because it is a tremendous two or three verses in the Scripture, brethren, all about us. So the mountain of God was prophesied to be established. The Old Testament prophets saw the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. They knew the temple was going to go down. They warned the people it was going to be gone. And then they started to prophesy about Mount Zion once again being occupied. And it would be the place of God's people. All right? So, let's start in Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to go from there to Micah. And Micah is about 5-6 verses towards the New Testament from the book of Daniel. Most people can find the book of Daniel fairly easy. Just so you know where we're going. Isaiah 2. And very similar statements can be made here in Micah. That's why we're going to go there. These are contemporaries. 2 by 2. God sent them out. 2 by 2. A lot of times. Not always. Isaiah 2. Verse 2. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the last days, Hebrews 1 opens up saying, in these last days. It's the way the book begins, so that when you get to chapter 12, when it says, you have come, you now know you're in the last days, and you're where we were prophesied to be, brethren. You need to understand that. Now Micah, go over to Micah. Micah 4. I'll give you guys a few seconds to get over there, if you're not there. Round numbers, 700 BC, round numbers. Okay, actually a little earlier than that, but round numbers. Verse 1, it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. And you can go on and read. Almost exactly, if not exactly, the same as Isaiah. Well, you know, that sounds a lot like Paul. You know, he was preaching the same message that Peter was preaching. Consistency in God's message. Now, most of us are familiar with the vision given Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know the dream and went to the conjurers and the soothsayers of his day, the magicians, so to speak, said, tell me my dream and interpret it. And of course, he said, well, glad to interpret us, tell us the dream. He said, Rago, you tell me my dream since you seem to know everything and tell me its interpretation. Well, Daniel got the dream, didn't he? And he got the interpretation. He gave it to King Nebuchadnezzar. And part of that dream was what? All these great kingdoms would arise. The head of gold was Babylon. Then it was going to be the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks. Finally the Romans. In the days of these kings, there will be a kingdom that will come. And it's a mountain described, cut out without hands, that fills the whole earth. Now, brethren, when Daniel preached that or gave that message to Nebuchadnezzar, that's, I'm going to give you round numbers again, about 586, 580 BC, somewhere in there. Remember, this was set up previously by a message given to Isaiah and Micah. It wasn't like it was going to be something surprising that Daniel was going to get this vision, this dream, and then get the interpretation. God's already talked about a mountain. It's going to fill the whole earth. Right? So, we have the mountain being established. This great mountain being established. And by the way, Psalm 2 says that on this mountain, when it's established, God says, I will install my king on Mount Zion. He says it's his begotten. Hey, all the earth, give homage to the Son. We know it's not David. He's talking about it's Messiah, right? So, the mountain's going to be established. The king's going to be reigning on high. So when we read Hebrews 1, shall we go there? Sure, we mentioned it earlier. Let's just go ahead and read a little bit. Again, I'm going to be trying to go fast. I just want you guys to see some of this stuff. Some of you have heard it several times. Some of you just a couple of times. Some of you maybe not at all. Hebrews 1, God, after He spoke long ago on the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In these last days, the King is installed. And you go on to read in Hebrews chapter 12, that installation took place on Mount Zion, according to prophecy. Right? So the mountain's established, the King's installed. This mountain, brethren, is for all peoples. All peoples. So let's take a look at some of those. Let's start by going to Zechariah. That's the next last book in the Old Testament. Find Matthew, go back a couple books. Bing, there you are. Okay? Zechariah 8. But this mountain will also be the mountain, remember, with the coming destruction of the temple, there goes the presence of God, gone. So this is the prophecies in the Old Testament about God coming back. He's going to dwell in Mount Zion. 8:3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the holy mountain. He goes on to speak of old men, old women, children playing in the streets. Too difficult? I don't think so. I'll bring them back, he says. They will be my people. Bring them back from all over the place. But this is the place where God's going to dwell again. Now we know from the writers of the apostolic times even, the glory of God never returned to the temple of Zerubbabel and surely wasn't there in what was called Herod's temple. Not there. So we know that the New Testament is teaching us when that happened is, again, I have to tell you, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. That's when he dwelled. Where have we come to? Mount Zion, right? Heavenly Jerusalem. To who? To Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the King. Psalm 102. This is designed tonight, this message, just to throw a bunch of this stuff out at you, get you start looking on your own. Brethren, I'm not even going to touch a lot of these things that have to do directly with Jerusalem and other terminology about the Old Testament that is speaking specifically about you and the New Covenant. Brother Jay said there's hundreds in the Old Testament, and I tend to agree with him. Alrighty, Psalm 102. I got to find the right verses here. I got a whole bunch of verses here. Okay, let's go to 12. Psalm 102, 12. But thou, O Lord, dost abide forever in thy name to all generations. Thou wilt arise and have compassion on Zion. For it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. And he goes on in verse 15 to say, so the nations will fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth thy glory. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. Remember that. Come back to that at some point. I'm going to bypass Zephaniah for the sake of time. But Zephaniah 3, 14 through 17 is another one you look at. It talks about God going to dwell once more here in this mountain. All peoples, Psalm 102, were there. 18. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, for he looked down from his holy height. From the heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to death, that men may tell of the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the peoples are gathered to when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. You notice it doesn't say Jews. The peoples, the Goyim, the Gentiles. This is for all peoples. All peoples. Isaiah 25. We're going to hit several passages in Isaiah here now. We're going to hit Isaiah 25, Isaiah 56, and then Isaiah 66. There's a ton of stuff in Isaiah alone. Ton of stuff. Isaiah 25. Verses 6 and 7. And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. What did we just have? A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time. All peoples. Okay, you got that? Over to Isaiah 56. Verses 6 through 8. Talking about a better name and all this and previous stuff. Sons and daughters, everlasting name, not cut off. Verse 6 of Isaiah 56. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to serve Him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast My covenant, even those I will bring to My holy mountain and make them joyful in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on My altar, for My house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. 66. Isaiah 66. One verse. I think you got the right chapter. Verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming together, all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see My glory. All peoples. Ezekiel 20 describes all peoples as all Israel. That's Ezekiel 20:40. All Israel. So when you go to Romans 9 through about Romans 11, you'll see things quoted from the Old Testament. It'll talk about when the Gentiles come in, fullness of the Gentiles, then all Israel. All Israel. I know some of you have heard this a bunch of times. It is good stuff. It is good stuff, brethren. I've got to remind you who you are. All right, now, all peoples, all Israel, this is occupied, this mountain's occupied by a remnant of escapees. You know, Brad's back there singing in his head already an old song. Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere on this ground. Right, Brad? That's right. Tonight there's going to be a jailbreak. Satan's going down. Right? So that's what's going on, man. That's a good old song. We changed the words, Brad and I. But alrighty, so it's occupied by a remnant of escapees. Obadiah. You guys want to find Obadiah? It's before Micah and Jonah. It's about three or four books past Daniel, somewhere in that area. Okay? That's all I can do to help you. This point. It's a really small book, but an awesome, awesome, awesome book. Just communicates a ton of great information. Obadiah, chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verse 17. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape. Remember, we're supposed to be deliverers, right? Help those people escape the snare of the devil. The snare of the devil, brethren, is set firmly on the earth. That's where his snare is set. There is no snare in heaven. He got booted. He got booted. His snare is on earth. But in Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and it goes on to speak about Joseph. All right? So that there will be no survivor of the house of Israel. The Lord has spoken. And it goes on. I'm going to jump down for the sake of time. Verse 21. The deliverers, who would that be? I wonder. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion. Jesus led captive, a host of captives, right? Seated them with him in the heavenly places. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau. It's terminology for the enemies of God. And the kingdom will be the Lord's.
Yes. Yes.
Right? The kingdom. And I could go off on that on a tangent. I'm not going to. Let's go back to Joel. That's right before Amos, which is before Obadiah there. So two books back. Joel 2. This is the fastest you'll ever hear me preach on this stuff. Joel 2, verse 30. And I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth. Blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, the Lord's day. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors who the Lord calls. Peter quotes this on the day of Pentecost. Back to Isaiah. Chapter 4. I'm going as fast as I can, brethren. Hope some of you are writing this down. Isaiah 4:2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. And it will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. Well, hello. Isaiah 10. We'll go ahead and hit this one. I'm deciding whether to go by it or not. We're going to hit it. Isaiah 10, verse 20. Now it will come about in that day that the remnant of Israel, I wonder who's called the remnant according to the New Testament, and those of the house of Jacob, notice it's talking about two different houses, Israel, Jacob. Okay, well actually it's the same. Remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. So this escaped folks, the escaped survivors, are the remnant. They're the remnant. That's what I was trying to establish there. All right, the escaped remnant. We're in Isaiah 4, right? Or no, we were. Go back to Isaiah 4. The escaped remnant are those that are purged and washed. Isn't that interesting? You all ready? Okay, we read 2. Let's go to and 3. Let's go to Isaiah 4:4. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters in Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all, the glory will be a canopy. And there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. So this escaped remnant is washed, and they dwell in the glory of God. Now, we could go all over the place for washed, right? Let's just talk about, let's just go to verses that use that terminology. 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to go to Hebrews 10. And I'm not going to read all the context, but you got a list of a really great group above you there in 9 and 10. Really great sinners. Okay? Here's what you need to hear in verse 11. And such were some of you. Now, this is a predominantly Gentile congregation. All the peoples, you know, all the stuff we talked about earlier. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 10. Again, I'm going at warp speed, brethren. So, stay with me. Hebrews 10. 22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The reason that kind of terminology shows up in the New Testament. I'm convinced, brethren, these Old Testament prophecies are about us. I could go into all the wash and the water and all that and spend 3 or 4 months talking about that on Sundays. Not 3 or 4 months, but anyway, how about Isaiah 66 real quick? You guys staying with me? Does this make any sense? Okay. I'm just trying to get somewhere. Ultimately, it's about the deliverers. But I want to see all this stuff had to be put together first before the deliverers could come. Isaiah 66, verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. Time is coming together. I read this earlier. All nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Remember, I told you these are ones that would be in the glory of God. So these ones are going to be dwell. God's going to dwell on this mountain. They're going to be washed. They're going to be purged. God's glory is going to be present, and they're going to dwell in God's glory. You'll see these concepts communicated in the New Testament, brethren, very clearly. All right? By the way, just in passing, we talk about washed. In Revelation 1, when it says, He has made us a kingdom and priests to His God, it talks about how they have been released from their sins. I think it's Revelation 1:5 or 1:7, somewhere in there, where it says released from their sins. That literal is they've been washed from their sins. That's that word, washed. So, just want to throw that out. How about dwell in His glory? Well, it was on Jesus' mind. Let's go to John 17. And Jesus, we know, was fulfilling all prophecy. Amen? Okay. Look and see where I'm going next, brethren. All right, John 17:22. The glory which thou... I'm going to read, mine's the old non-corrected... I'm saying non-updated. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. I love that language. Thou's and these and thy's, all good stuff. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. So he lifted us up into his presence. Amen. In order that... excuse me, too excited. In order that why? They may behold my glory. Old Testament prophecy. Fulfilled. So Jesus lifted us up right into His glory. Now, Isaiah 2. We're getting close to talking about the deliverers. Us. Looking at those passages. I'm going to skip some so we can get done at a reasonable time here. I'm about a minute past right now. But I want the record to show that I didn't get up here until about 7:34. Okay? So, Isaiah 2, then we're going to go to Isaiah 8, then to Isaiah 37. A lot in Isaiah. Okay, that's my point here. Isaiah 2, you all with me? All righty. Verse 3. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways. You have come to Mount Zion. Amen? Amen. Where are you going to be taught His ways? Mount Zion. Where are we? Where's the assembly located? Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. Should you hit the assemblies? Well, if you want to be taught His ways, I think so. That we may walk in His paths. For the law, we're going to talk about the law, will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. This is quoted concerning Jesus in the book of Hebrews. And I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of Jacob. They were sinning, going to judge Him. But he was going to come back. I will even look eagerly for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Zion. Signs and wonders. Bind up the testimony, seal the law. All right, I said what, 37? Yeah, Isaiah 37. Then Isaiah 66 one more time. Probably have to skip a few things here. Isaiah 37:30. Then this shall be the sign for you. You shall eat this year what grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and in the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. This is... Well, I can't give you all the background. I just don't have enough time. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. Out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. And out of Mount Zion, survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. What Jerusalem? What Mount Zion? What survive? Well, we've established who that is. If you've been paying attention, it's us. According to prophecy. Isaiah 66. Verse 19. We did 18 for time is coming. Gather all the nations and tongues, they shall come and see my glory. Now listen to what he says. And I will set a sign among them and will send survivors. Sound vaguely familiar? Send survivors from them to where? The nations. Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Rosh, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have neither heard my fame nor seen my what? Glory. Interesting. And they will declare what? My glory among the nations. Then ye shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering to the Lord on horses and chariots and litters and mules and camels to my holy mountain, Jerusalem. Says the Lord, just as the sons of Israel bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, I will also take some of them for what? Priests and for Levites, says the Lord. Well, aren't we priests? It says in the New Testament. You can take these foreigners for priests now. How can you do that? How can you take a foreigner and make him a priest or a Levite? Can't do that, can you, under the law? No way, Jose. Okay, so this has got to be something that's going to be changed the law, change of the priesthood, right? It's us. All righty. Micah 4, one last time. You guys remember where that was at? About four, five, six books to the New Testament side of Daniel? Somewhere near. One last time. Micah 4, 1 through 3. And it will come about in the last days, I know some of you are still turning your pages, that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, from the word of the Lord, from Jerusalem. The law. What is this law? Well, let's just check it out. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's start getting a handle on what this law is. I know many of you know this, but brethren, I'm just trying to show you the order that God had this thing laid out so as it's being proclaimed and preached by the apostles and written about by the New Testament prophets. It absolutely matches up. Absolutely. It should fire you up. Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a law. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 20. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under myself under the law. Are we under the law? Nope. But we can act and understand those who are under law. Then I might win those who are under law. To those who are without law as without law, Gentiles, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Brethren, you're under law. Why are we so afraid to say that? We're just not under the law of Moses. We're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're under the law of God. We're under the law of Christ. I like being under this law. Thank you, Luke. Come on, the rest of you. It ain't going to kill you. God ain't going to zap you. We're saying, yeah. How about Galatians 6? I know it's been fasting, and some of you are really good about not eating. But feast upon the Word, brethren. That didn't even work. Verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the what? The law of Christ. How about James? Oh, James all about law. Okay? James. 1. 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law. I like this law. Remember the law of Moses was a law and a ministry of what? Death. Condemnation. This is a perfect law. Perfect law. Why are you afraid to say you're under law? We're under law. I'm trying to show you the other side of the issue. Faith and law. Faith fulfills something called the law of Christ. That's what it does. We're not under the law of Moses, but by golly, Miss Molly and Uncle Dave too, we're under law of Christ. How about James 2? So speak, so act as those who are to be judged by, here we go again, we're under law. Law of liberty! Hey, let me help you escape. I'm coming with the law of liberty. I want in! Right? Now, remember, they're going to send them out. What were they going to do? They were going to tell the people about those who hadn't known about God and about what? They were going to tell them and teach them about my glory. Now, how important is 2 Corinthians 3? Well, I don't know. Brethren, this stuff is there for a reason. I'm almost done. Thank you for being so patient. But this is just too good to stop short. You guys agree? So far, not a lot of fidgeting. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Remember one of the passages we read? He was going to remove that veil of death. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Sounds like that law of liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What were we supposed to see? By those who were sent out into the nations? The glory of the Lord. That's what we're supposed to see. Just as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. That's the transformation vehicle. Let's drop down to 4. Chapter 4, 3 and 4, and I'll be done. Pretty important stuff. But I wanted to tie it all together as quickly as I could. All this stuff about Mount Zion, deliverers, all that good stuff. You're the deliverers of this message, brethren. You are. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is the image of God. We're helping deliver people from the snare of the devil. And guess what? Some of them are even in the Lord's church. I know that's shocking. But some of them are even in the Lord's church. They're immersed for the right reason, but brethren, they have no clue about the glory. None. They could be perishing. They can still be held captive by the devil to do his will. You're a deliverer. You have ascended Mount Zion, but it's very clear the Scripture says He's going to send deliverers out of Mount Zion and out of Jerusalem. That is you, brethren. So the next time you go through 2 Corinthians 5 and you're reading about new creation stuff, we get to the end of it, it talks about we've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors. You've been sent. You're the deliverer. No time for Eeyores. No time, brethren. Oh, thanks for noticing me. Thanks, Lord. That should be our attitude, right? I'm talking to myself, too, not just you guys. Should be our attitude. We're deliverers. Now, just how important are you? Well, guess what? I want to remind you again. You are the only ones that have an impact on human history from the throne of God. You hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. Now, just how powerful is that? Stop and put that one in your gourd and crank that around for a day or two. I'm serious. You believe the Scripture, this thing's going to really challenge you, but it's also going to just absolutely resonate in your being who you are. And there is nobody that will ever steal that from you. And I'm going to tell you again, you want to know what the outcome is? The assemblies are primo, numero uno over everything. You will get here because you know who you are and you want to be reminded of who you are and what God has said we get to do. This is really, really, really good stuff, brethren. Now, do you see why I love the hammer, Hebrews 12? You have come. You are the fulfillment of so much prophecy, it's unbelievable. You and I. God's amazing. He loves us. You're a deliverer. You're a survivor. You've escaped. And now we need to help others with that jailbreak. So tonight, there's going to be a jailbreak. Somewhere in this town. Right? Tonight, there's going to be a jailbreak. We're taking Satan down. Let's stand.